Niamh, agus fáilte go dtí an tar com an Lúcas Gaeilge seachta na Seálamaí, Tom Cormack, with you as always until 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And, well, I'm delighted to say tonight I'm joined by a very special man, I suppose. And I suppose given the week that's in it, ahead of Donegal and Roscommon in the Alliance League in O'Donnell Park on Sunday, no better man to talk to than a man that won three continent championships with Roscommon and won an Ulster championship with Donegal. And of course, I'm speaking of none other than Des Newton, who played his club football in Orris before joining up with Donegal. Good night to you, Des.
Good evening, Tom. Delighted to speak to you.
Yeah. And tell me, Des Newton, three Connets and one Ulster and an All-Ireland under-21 as well. Not a bad trophy cabinet.
No, I suppose it was very pleasing. It is very pleasing, really. There's lots of players that have long careers and don't achieve that much, so you know, I'm very, very, very happy with that.
Yeah, and tell me, obviously, before we talk to you about how you came to Donegal and coming to Donegal and joining up with Brian McInniff and Donegal in the mid-80s, first of all, tell me about Donegal or Roscommon and that first All-Ireland under-21 and that first Connacht title.
Yeah, well, that was 1978. I was actually still a minor that year, and Roscommon won a Connacht under-21 championship, but had quite a small squad. So there were four minors drafted in late in the summer after they won the Connacht championship, which I think the final was played in August that year. And I guess that we trained with the squad for 6 or 8 weeks. I didn't play in the semi-final against Down that year, but maybe it was a little surprising to some, but I got picked on the team for the final. And, you know, that was great. It was my only match with the under-21s that year. That might be a bit of a record as well. So I have no Connacht Championship under-21 medal, but I have an All-Ireland under-21 medal. And we beat Kerry in the final in Roscommon that year, the same day as Roscommon beat Kerry also in the Canoris tournament semi-final, which you might remember.
I was there.
There was a tournament, the Canoris tournament, played that time.
Yeah.
And I suppose Kerry, you know, they offered actually to come to play that final in Roscommon. They were after beating Dublin in the All-Ireland senior final about 3 weeks before that. People will remember Owen Bomber-Liston scoring 3 goals in that All-Ireland senior final. And Kerry would have been out-and-out favourites for that final.
Yeah, there was quite a few of that senior team on that under-21 team, wasn't there?
There were 7 of them, actually, of the team that played in the All-Ireland final. Bomber-Liston was there, of course. Charlie Nelligan in goals, Tom Spillane, Sean Walsh, Jack O'Shea. There was a guy, Spellman, I think, who actually played in the half-back line in that All-Ireland final as well. So, yeah, they would have been a team that would have been expected. And they were actually going for a 4 in a row of under-21s that year, because many of them were still under-21 in 75 when they won the first senior All-Ireland as well. And, you know, Jack O'Shea was going for 4 under-21 All-Irelands that day, I remember. So it was a packed house in Roscommon. And I guess I was so young and so new to the whole thing at that stage. I don't have a huge memories of the actual game itself, but I suppose I remember nearly collapsing on the pitch after the game. And the first man that dragged me up to my feet was Donal Keenan, who was to go on to become president of the GAA after that, a great Roscommon supporter, lived right across the road from Hyde Park. And, you know, I remember having great conversations with my own father, really, after that game as well. So it was a fantastic day all around.
Yeah, and just remind us, who was on that Roscommon team with you?
Well, I suppose people that became household names afterwards, Gerry Kinnellan was playing in the half-back line that day. He went on to win an All-Star. Tony McManus was playing that day. Seamus Hayden, Gerry Fitzmaurice, Seamus Tighe, Peter Dolan, Richie Byrne from Strokestown. They would have all gone on to play senior football. Aidan Dooley, Gerry Emmett. Now, there were quite a few players who, you know, didn't go on to play senior football after that as well, for many different reasons. But there would have been quite a sprinkling of that team would have been part of the Roscommon senior panel in 1980. You know, that won won 2 Connacht championships, 79 and 80, after 78, and then played in the final, were part of the squad that were involved in the final in 1980.
Yeah, and lost that final to Kerry. It's the one final, I think, that Mick O'Dwyer has gone on record to say that Kerry should have lost.
Yeah, and I suppose you won't find too many Roscommon people that would disagree with that. And I guess, you know, there were lots of reasons for that. There were errors on the day, absolutely, by Roscommon players, which, you know, were big factors in the game. The weather changed very badly during that game as well, you know, which I don't think suited Roscommon. You know, many people said that Roscommon maybe got over physical during that game there, but, you know, we're inclined to think of Kerry as being the aristocrats of football, but, you know, they're well able to handle themselves physically when they need to as well. And, you know, you need to look no further back than last Sunday to know that. But,
yeah.
You know, Roscommon got off to a great start in that final, and Jigar O'Connor, that's Dara's dad, scored a goal in the first couple of minutes of that game. But, you know, they never really turned all the possession they had in the first half into the scores that could have won the game for them.
Mm-hmm. And you were a member of that squad, weren't you?
I was a member of that squad, but actually didn't feature in the final. I was still under 21 and got quite badly injured against Galway in a Connacht Championship match right at the end of July that year. So I was on the squad that won the Connacht Championship that year, but I got quite a bad injury that kept me out for a couple of months after that. And even after that final, I actually got called. Hoping for a good league run with Roscommon after that final, which never actually happened either, because I broke my ankle in a county final in Roscommon, and that put me out for the whole winter that time. And in fact, after that then, for one reason or another, I actually played no football for the following 2 years at county level.
Yeah. And Q, you came to live in Donegal then?
Yeah, well, I came straight out of college, I suppose. And
teacher by profession?
Teacher by profession, yeah. I went to college in Cork and actually played with the combined colleges team in 1980, along with Gerry Lynch and Tom Spillane and people like that. Won a Trinch Cup with Cork Regional College, as it was that time, Cork IT now. And they used to play a tournament that time between the Guards, the combined colleges, the combined universities and the Army. Some of your older listeners might remember that, and I remember playing against the Army in Croke Park. Actually, the semi-finals and final were played in Croke Park that time. They weren't minding it as well as they do now. So coming straight out of college, my first job that I got was in Carndon, a community school, in 1981, and I suppose it was a time that you got a permanent job and you jumped at it, because there wasn't too many of them around. So that was the start of, I suppose, the time in Donegal.
But, and you signed up to play football in Donegal with Oris, was it, I think? Yeah,
well, that was probably a good 18 months later, and I was still playing club football in Roscommon, actually, at that time with Shannon Gales, who were the first club after you went to Roscommon when you crossed the bridge in Carrigan-Shannon. But I suppose we were playing at junior level at that time, and Colm Toland, again, you know, will be remembered by many of your listeners there. Colm was teaching in Carndon Community School with me and was a big mover and shaker in Donegal GAA at that time, and he, I suppose, coerced me into signing with Oris in the spring of 1983, and Oris had won a junior championship a few years before that, and, you know, people will remember the likes of Desi Kemi and John Farn, and Mickey Grant, who you know, featured in county teams around that time. And they were playing senior championship at that time and senior league. And they were the only club in Inishowen, apart from Burt, I think, at that time, and very unusually, a senior club. There were none of the other clubs we existed at that time. Most of them started after 1983. So Colm enticed me to sign up with Oris in that year. And, you know, I had a couple of... I played, I think, 4 years with Oris, and very, very enjoyable years. They're absolutely fantastic people out in that northwestern end of the Inishowen Peninsula. I had great times playing with Oris.
Yeah, and you played for a year, did you, or so, with Cairn Donna, if I recall, no?
Well, I suppose I eventually came to live in Cairn Donna, and I suppose it didn't make sense, you know, living there and playing with Oris. So I think it was about 87 or 88, sometime around then, I actually transferred back into Carndonagh, because a club had started up about 2 years before that in Carndonagh following the success of the county team in 83. Quite a few clubs in Inishowen sprung up after that, and I suppose myself and John Farn would have been involved with the county squad at that time, so you had teams or new clubs forming in Moville, in Carndonagh, in Buncrana, in Mallon. You know, Muff came after that, So now, you know, there's seven or eight teams there where there was only one team back in the early 80s.
Yeah. Thought the way Gaeta Gleeson Clare coming Luke Class Gaelic Shock on the show. My special guest tonight is, well, former Donegal and Roscommon player, a man that won one Ulster Championship and three Connacht Championships. I'm sure if that's something of a record. Des Newton, it probably is a record. I'm not sure if there's many Roscommon men with Connacht title, or with there's not many Roscommon with all that many Connacht titles, never mind Ulster titles.
Well, there's probably not too many. There's not too many people, I think, that have won championships in two provinces. Anyway, Martin Kearney springs to mind, of course.
Yeah.
He won with Donegal in the early 70s and went on to win with Mayo after that. And I suppose I played Railway Cup with both provinces as well, which was great at the time.
So come on. I'm conscious of the clock, and we've a lot to get in, Des, because it's been quite a illustrious career. Tell me, roll on 83. How did you get involved with Donegal? Won an Ulster Championship with them?
Yeah, well, my mother, of course, is from Illestrin, just outside Letterkenny, and you know, there were eight in her family, so I have lots of ties with Donegal. And I suppose at the time, people were wondering who was this Roscommon guy who was basically parachuting into the squad at the time. But, you know, I have lots of close blood links with Donegal as well.
Remind us your mum's name.
My mother's name is Kathleen Devine from Balladurg, just beside Illestrin there on the other side of the mountain top. And at that time, in 1983, there was a Junior Ulster Championship, and I think in May of that year, Donegal played Tyrone in the quarter-final of that championship, and any club that had players who hadn't featured in senior county football the year before were invited to take along players that might be able to play in that game. And of course, Colm Toland took me along to that game, and that I think we ended up being beaten by a point or two that even. But Brian McAniff came into the dressing room after the game and asked me would I join the senior panel at training the night after. So I suppose rolling on a bit then, we played Armagh in the first round of the championship, or the quarter final of the championship that year in Ballybofey. I was sitting in the dugout that day. We won that day and went on to play Monaghan in Irvinstown in the semi-final. But when we played Armagh, Matt Gallagher, who was playing cornerback that day, I think he broke a bone in his arm and he wasn't going to be fit for the semi-final. So actually, I got picked for the semi-final against Monaghan. And we won that and qualified to play.
I'm thinking here as we talk, a good introduction to Ulster football, Monaghan.
That was a pretty tough game. I remember it well. There was a packed house in Irvinstown, and it was like a lot of the Ulster grounds, like Armagh and places like that, the crowd are really in around you. And Monaghan are never easy to beat at the best of times anyway. But we came out on top that day. And again, people will remember that game. Charlie Mulgrew got his jaw broken in that game. And I suppose many people will argue, no, Charlie never maybe... He never was the same player really after that game. He got a bad punch that day, and I think it maybe affected him even worse than a lot of
people. Because if I recall, he got a fantastic goal against Armagh the first day in Ballybough.
Yeah, the first day he did, absolutely, yeah. So we went on to play Cavan in the Ulster final in Clonus that year, and I guess everybody expected Matt to come back in at cornerback. But unfortunately, Matt got his appendix taken out 5 days before the final. So I kept my place for the final, and I was playing alongside Martin Griffin at fullback and Tommy McDermott in the other corner that day. And I suppose I was very, very nervous coming into that final. There was a huge crowd in Clonus that day, being so close to Cavan. A lot of Donegal people had travelled because Donegal hadn't won an Ulster Championship since 74. There was a massive crowd at the game, and I remember being very nervous and not having a great first maybe 10 minutes, and Brian McAniff changed me to the other corner. I think that settled things down a bit. And, you know, that was a brilliant day. I was so new to it all that I don't know if I even took it all in. When I look back on it, I realise how much I probably enjoyed it. But at the time, you know, I didn't even know all the lads that well.
Because you were only a matter of weeks in the squad.
Or? I was only a matter of weeks in the squad, you know, and I hadn't grown up with any of those guys. They'd been playing under 21 and minor football right down through the years.
And you were still very young as well, weren't you?
And I was only 22 at the time, you know, and I went on to become really great friends with the likes of Matt Gallagher and Pádraig Gallagher and Nach Gallagher and Tommy McDermott in particular. And though that age group were all the same age as me, so... But at the time, I didn't really know a lot of the guys in the squad, so it was a little strange at the time. But it was brilliant, and We went on to play.
And of course, you were the only Inis Oireann man in the squad or in the team too.
I was the only Inis Oireann man in the squad, even. You know, and I'll tell you a very funny story, Tom, that not many people know actually from that day. We were given a new set of jerseys against Galway in the semi-final in Croke Park that August. It was a really, really hot day. Again, if people want their memories jogged, it was the day Eamon Coughlin won the world. I think it was mile, and he came around the last bend and waved back at some Russian guy.
Yeah,
it was the same day. It was a really, really hot day. But we were presented with a new set of jerseys in the dressing room, as a lot of teams were at that time, and you were basically taking them out of the bag. And when I opened up the jersey, the crest and the name on the jersey was Tyr Connell.
Mm.
And I remember, I suppose, not being too pleased about that. You wouldn't see a Donegal team going out now wearing Tyr Connell.
Yeah.
Because it basically, that was the part of Donegal which didn't include Inis Oireann.
Yes.
And I remember being a little bit upset about that, because I kind of felt that I was representing the people of Inis Oireann and the people of Uris at the time as much as anything else. And, you know, it was a small blip, but still, when I look back on it, like, it was a funny moment, really, you know.
And was yours the only one, or were they all that way?
Oh, they were all that way. Yeah. They were all that way, but, yeah. You know, it was just the thinking at the time, I suppose, because Inis Oireann would see themselves as a kind of a special unit, but still very much part of Donegal. But.
And talk to me about that semi-final against Galway, because you would probably have played against quite a few of the Galway guys at underage.
I would, yeah, but, you know, in fact, Galway quite an old team that year. And,
right.
That's the year, of course, that the final turned into a bit of a fiasco and finished with 12 against 13 when they went on to play Dublin.
Hmm.
But I was marking Tom Nocton that year, who would have played, would have actually won, I think, a Connacht Championship as far back as 19, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 years before that with Galway.
Hmm.
And they had people like Richie Lee and Gay McManus, and Val Daly was on the younger side of that team. So they were an ageing team. But I suppose their bit of experience won out. We were a very inexperienced team. We had an awful lot of guys who had won the under-21 All-Ireland with Donegal in 1982, one a year before that. And then a sprinkling of other fellas like Martin Griffin and Brendan Dunleavy and Mickey Lafferty and Kieran Keeney. They would have been the older guys in that team. But I suppose it was inexperience, really, that cost us that day.
Yeah. And who else? Just remind us of that Donegal team as well.
Oh, hopefully you're not going to get... Well, Tommy McDermott, myself, and Martin Griffin would have been in the fold. Noel McCall was in goals. Michael Carr from Kilcare, Brendan Dunleavy. And I'm going to not remember everybody now. Anthony Malloy and
Mickey Lafferty.
You know, and Paul McGettigan on midfield, and in the half forward line, had people like Donal Reid, Martin McHugh, and Joyce McMullen, and the full forward line then would have been Kieran Keeney, Seamus Boner, and again, I'm going to be caught to. I can't remember who was playing in the other corner.
Yeah, but it was a mix of youth and experience.
It was a mix of youth, but there was a bit of inexperience as well, and a lot of inexperience on the touchline as well. You know, in terms of fellas that had come through in under-21 the year before.
And who was Brian McNiff was manager?
Brian McNiff was manager of the senior team that year. Yeah.
Yeah. Tato Igistuk, Tanok Tlesh and Clar, come on Luke Glass, Gail Shock, the show. My special guest tonight is a former Donegal and Roscommon player. And I suppose it's fitting we're talking to Des Newton on the week that Donegal and Roscommon are going to meet in the Alliance League. It's the first meeting since 2008, I think. That was in Championship in Ballybuffet. And the first meeting in the league since 2006. So, and Des, you played on with Donegal, you lost that semi final and didn't go really well for Donegal after that for a few years.
No, I guess we were quite close, you know, in the following years. You know, there would have been a lot of hope in terms of they'd won the under-21 Donegal or Ireland in 1982, and there was a lot of players coming through off that team, but we just never quite got over. We were beaten by Armagh by a point the following year in Armagh in 84. In 85, we beat Down in Ballybuffet in the first round. We went on then to get very heavily beaten in Castle Blaney by Monaghan in the semi-final that year. And I think, you know, Monaghan were probably really up for that match. That was only a week after Barry McGuigan had won the World Boxing Championship. The following year then we were drawn to play against Down in Newcastle in the first round. We ended up losing that game by a point. We missed a penalty that day. We had a man sent off. you know, these are not excuses. It's just what happened.
Close shaves.
You know, things didn't go well. But we had lots of good days in between. You know, there was a Centenary Cup final. We got to, you know, we played against Cork, I think, in the final of that in Croke Park in 86. You know, we were very narrowly beaten in Ballybuffet in the Centenary Cup final in 85 by Kerry. You know, so we had success. We still had success even through those years, but never quite made the breakthrough again. Mm. And, you know, then you had the under-21s won the All-Ireland again in 1987. And I suppose in 87, then that was my last year, last of five championships with Donegal. Things that, again, didn't work out too well that year. That was the one and only time I've ever been sent off in my career against Armagh in Ballybuffet. We ended up losing that match by a couple of points. And, you know, at that stage, the management structure had changed, and for one reason or another, you know, things weren't working out there. And there was a change of management in Roscommon at that time as well. Martin McDermott, who had been part of the 1980 squad, he had taken over as manager in 1988, so he approached me to see would I be interested in going back playing, which was common at that time. And I suppose I weighed up everything that was going on at the time. I was getting an opportunity to go back and spend some time in Roscommon with my parents at the time, getting an opportunity to play with my brother. So I made
that's John, big
that's
John.
That's John, yeah. And I made the decision in 88 or 87, 88 to go back and play with Roscommon. And while we didn't win a Connacht Championship in 88, we got beaten by Mayo in the final and got beaten by Mayo in the final in a replay again in 1989. We did win two Connacht Championships in 1990 and in 1991, and we were well beaten by Cork in 1990, that a team that went on to win the All-Ireland. Mm. And in 1991, we got beaten by Meath.
Yeah. That was the year of the marathon between Meath and Dublin, wasn't it?
That was the year of the marathon between Meath and Dublin, and you could say, you know, we probably should have caught Meath that day. We were 7 points ahead of them, actually, with 25 minutes to go in that game, but they ended up beating us by a point. And, you know, they weren't the resurrection kings at that stage for no reason. That was the start of it, maybe. They had done Lazarus three times against Dublin before they eventually beat them in the Leinster final that year, so you know, I guess their resilience was very high, and but we had a great chance to reach the final that year, no doubt, and no more than the semi-final in 83 with Donegal. That was a hugely disappointing semi-final. You know, to get beaten in two semi-finals by a point is difficult, you know, because every player that has ever played the game, you know, it's the hardest defeat to take, a semi-final defeat, because, you know, you just never get the chance to experience the whole build-up around the final and the razzmatazz that goes on around it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if things had been different, I suppose I might have been part of Brian McAniff's plans in 1992. But
yeah, I was coming to that. You were still playing with Roscommon at that stage.
I was still playing with Roscommon at that
stage. And you were still living in Carndonagh and working.
And I was still living and working in Carndonagh, yeah. But, I mean, I have no regrets about any of that, and I don't look back. You know, I suppose it would be easy to have some regrets, but you make your decisions and you live with them. And the one thing I would have to say is that there was nobody prouder in Croke Park than me in 1992 when Donegal won that in Ireland. And I remember making my way onto the pitch that day after the game and round to the dressing room after the game. And when we had the cup visit Carndonagh and we released all the students, it was the biggest school in Ireland at the time, we had a brilliant afternoon on the diamond in Carndonagh, and there was great recognition of the likes of myself and John Farn, because I think that was one All-Ireland that Donegal won when they felt it was kind of building up for 10 years.
Mm.
And when I look back at that myself, I think that one of the reasons they did win the All-Ireland in 92 is that you had a sprinkling of younger players there that had experienced under-21 success in 97. And I guess they were kind of a new breed of footballer. They were paying much more attention to things like diets and training regimes and looking after yourself and all of that kind of stuff. You know, people like John Cunningham and Barry McGowan, Tony Boyle, Manus Boyle, them kind of people. But, you know, as well as that, then there was a sprinkling of more experienced players, the likes of Matt Gallagher and Brian Murray and people like that, who had been playing with Donegal for 10 years and never really experienced the Holy Grail. And I think that was the one year they had decided they were really going to give it everything. So you had a marvellous blend of all those guys with their experience really giving it their last shot, and all these new guys who had bought into a whole new thinking around that time about preparation and training and all of that. So, you know, that worked very well at the time.
Yeah. Anyway, I know I'm conscious of the clock and it's catching up on us here, Des, but in the few minutes we have left, obviously, living outside Donegal now, back living in Dublin, I think, at the moment, in terms of the modern game, or the, not the modern game, but Donegal 2016, and looking first at Roscommon 2016, a bit of a resurgence, not more than a resurgence, a real resurgence in the West.
Yeah, well, I suppose they're very, if you look at the kind of the build-up over the last couple of years that both of these teams have gone through, you know, there's a lot of parallels. I think there's a lot of these players now coming to prominence now off the back of very, very good development squads planning, which started in both counties way back when a lot of these players were 14 and 15. The likes of Fergal O'Donnell in Roscommon would have brought a lot of these players through. The likes of Maxi Kern in Donegal would have brought a lot of those players through as well. And they're both involved now on Sunday. You know, very, very good structures put in place 8 and 10 years ago, and it's bearing fruit. And I guess with Roscommon as well, you had a lot of success at minor level, similarly in Donegal, at under 21 level, particularly in Roscommon. You know, they never really managed to make the breakthrough and win a final. And Donegal, similarly, you know, they got to many Ulster finals over the last couple of years at under 21, never really. But so there's a lot of parallels really between the two teams and how they've arrived at this point here. And you know, a lot of players around that 22 to 25 age bracket, with a sprinkling then of more experienced players like the McGees on one side, and you have the likes of the Kilbrides maybe, and the Shines on the other side, which was common. But you know, looking forward to Sunday, I think, you know, Donegal will be very keen to put the defeat in Tralee behind them after last Sunday. They had been progressing very nicely up to then. Roscommon, I suppose, have three quite difficult games left. They've picked up great points to this point here. They'll see this as a huge test for themselves against the Donegal team that'll want to win their home games, you know, because they have difficult games coming up against Monaghan away after this and stuff. So, you know, they'll want to consolidate Division 1 and maybe get into a semi-final after Sunday. But I think Roscommon have one home game left, so they have a good chance of still making the semi-final.
Well, Des, look at the time. The clock is catching up on us here, and I'm not going to ask the difficult question, which jersey is going to be on Sunday, but you're looking forward to a good game and looking back on a good career in both counties.
Yeah, both of those. And I was lucky enough to play in league games for Roscommon against Donegal and for Donegal against Roscommon, and won on each occasion. I would say, you know, I would still think home advantage for Donegal might put them over the line by a couple of points on Sunday. But I don't think a loss for Roscommon at this stage would be a massive setback for them either. They have one home game left and a good chance of picking up some more points there. And, you know, they're probably, you know, saying to themselves that they've done hugely well in Division 1 this year, whereas Donegal would be an experienced Division 1 team and would be disappointed if they weren't sitting on, you know, 8 points after 5 rounds of games.
Des, thanks a million for joining us tonight. So that's it from another GA programme. My thanks to my special guest tonight, Des Newton, and also to Jimmy Stafford and Sound. Until on Shocked and Shahuggin, Slánagas Bannacht.